broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome back to our program. Well, that was a fun-filled hour. We had David G. Hall in there, and we had Stephen Bozell in there, and we had Mr. Bozell's daughter laughing like a cackling banshee in the background. That guy's got to get a handle on that kid.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, he lets everybody. His wife runs him, man. Run him down like a dog, man. Run him out and burn him off, man.
Run him out and burn him off. You mean burn him out and run him off?
Yeah.
President Obama sent so many tweets today on Twitter, more than 40,000 people stopped following him. Dean Wheeler is going to be on to talk about this hour, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and our website, philhendryshow.com. Dean Wheeler joining us from Northern California, Novato, California, home of the Northern California Holistic Center. So, Dean, I know that you, as a longtime supporter of President Obama from the very beginning...
Phil, I want to remind everyone that you were a longtime supporter of his, too. Well, you were a big supporter.
Yes, I was. I voted for him.
Yes. So as we talk about the things that we're talking about here this evening, I want your audience to be very clear that you were also a big supporter of his.
Listen, there's no question that I wanted the president to do well, and there's no question that I supported him. There's no question that I voted for him. And I also see the things that are going wrong with this country. I don't blame it all on him. You'd have to be absolutely stupid to blame it all on him. Now, understand that I live in a talk radio environment where most people are stupid. I don't mean the listeners. I mean the people that run the business. So if I actually tell the truth here and I say, for instance, President Obama has been an ineffective leader in many ways, but so has the opposite party. Well, we live in a world of conservative talk radio, and so given the fact that the people that run that aren't too bright, I'm sure that they will forget about what I said concerning Obama, and they'll just focus on the fact that I said what I said about conservatives, you know.
Well, are you trying to say that you run the risk, the same risk that the rest of us who support him do?
I run whatever risk a guy who is a man who is an open mind and thinks his own way in life. I run the risk of suffering whatever those people suffer. Look, I saw that vote today, and you know the Boehner Amendment or whatever that bull crap was, and I saw the speeches, and I saw Boehner getting angry. I don't think that guy knows what he's getting angry at. I don't think that cat understands a thing. I think John Boehner may become more of a joke than Nancy Pelosi, because he's got the Tea Party here, and they're completely out of their mind as far as I'm concerned. Those are people that say, you know, let's think sensibly about things. But not one of them, not one of those people, when they talk about sensible thinking, is ever directing the question themselves. And then you got on the other side of Boehner, the regular rank-and-file Republicans. All they want to do is get reelected. All they want to do is return to the days of when they were the party of less spending and less government. They only got themselves to blame for a lot of the problems the country has right now. And you got Boehner, who wants his legacy to be the guy that cleaned up the mess that Pelosi left. And so far, he ain't doing too good.
Well, I don't disagree with you there, Phil. But President Obama was delivered one of the biggest insults that any people could deliver to a country's leader today when he was trying to alert the American people to what was needed from them in order that we get this debt ceiling raised. And they responded by reporting him as spamming them. And they responded as well by not following him on Twitter. Can you believe that? Can you believe?
No, I can believe it, because the president was sending tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet, and it was driving people nuts.
No, it was not. First of all, Mr. Hendry, these are not, when you say tweet after tweet after tweet, this is the president of the United States communicating with people about what he needs from them, from the American people. Now, 40,000 people stopped following President Obama. Phil, this is very, very close to an assault on the president. Do you know what it is to not follow someone on Twitter, or to unfollow, I should say? Do you know what that is?
I know what it's perceived to be.
Yes. You know what it's perceived to be. No, I'm telling you what it is.
I know what it's perceived to be.
Well, what it is, Mr. Hendry, is a physical assault. It is denying that person's manhood. It's denying that person's womanhood. It's telling that person, you're not interesting. That's what not following someone on Twitter, unfollowing someone on Twitter does. And when you say that to the President of the United States of America, what are you saying? You are essentially saying, I don't care what you have to say. You are a non-person. Are you following me?
I think you're taking it and you are stretching it way out of proportion.
No, I'm not. No, Phil, that's of course, that is what I would expect a lot of people to say. But no, that's not what I'm doing. No, not by a long shot. President Obama today was communicating with the electorate. He was communicating with the American people. And 40,000 of them said, you're not even interesting enough to respond to. As a matter of fact, you're the President of the United States, but I don't find you interesting, and I'm going to unfollow you? That is tantamount, in my opinion, to an assault on the person of the president.
Oh, come on.
You don't think so?
No, of course I don't think so. Look, if you don't vote for Obama, is that an assault on the person of the president?
No, that's not the same thing, because I didn't vote for him and then unvote. I didn't vote for him and unvote.
Well, what if you voted for him in 2008, and then 2012 comes along?
Oh, then 2012 comes along, and then I don't vote for him? Not the same thing. Not the same thing at all, no. Because Twitter is far more personal. You can count the number of followers you have, and you know the ones that are unfollowing you. You can do that because they provide a feature which helps you know who unfollows you. I have one, and I can see the people that unfollow me. And I keep a fairly meticulous notebook.
And what do you mean you keep a meticulous notebook?
On the people that unfollow me.
And well, what does that mean?
It means I write down the names of the individuals that unfollow me. I cross-check those names with any new monikers that they may be using on Twitter. And I am diligent in keeping that notebook up to date.
Okay, and what do you do with that?
I don't really think that's what this conversation's about.
No, I'm just curious. You keep a meticulous notebook on anybody that unfollows you.
That is correct. Well, Phil, you know, we're talking about President Obama.
No, but I'm just curious. What do you do with that information?
I don't think it's any of your business. I can tell you that I keep notes on people that unfollow me, and at some point, there is a price that is paid. It's nothing violent. It's nothing that is illegal, but I can assure you they are going to know who they crossed.
And so you consider it some kind of somebody crossing you if they followed you on Twitter and then they stopped?
I'm talking about President Obama now, Bill.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, you brought it up. You keep a you're the one that said it. You said you keep a meticulous notebook on everybody that unfollows you. You know their names. You cross-check their names with new monikers that they may use. So I take it that you're able to follow where they go.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And what they're doing.
Yes, but I don't obsess on it.
Well, you don't obsess on it, but you say that sooner or later those people that unfollow you will have a price to pay?
I don't think I use price to pay. I said at some day, sooner or later, the people that unfollow me are going to, you know, I'm going to pay them a visit.
And all right, and you're not saying you're going to do anything illegal or violent.
No, of course not.
But you're going to pay them a visit.
Yeah, we'll meet again. We'll meet again.
Well, that sounds, I don't know, you know.
Oh, come on, Bill. You just said to that gentleman last hour, butch up. Why don't you butch up?
Well, I don't need to butch up. It sounds to me like a threat. All right.
I told you it is not a threat.
We'll meet again. We'll meet again. That sounds like a threat. Let's get back, though, to President Obama.
Well, you have just basically made my argument for me because you feel threatened. Why shouldn't President Obama feel threatened by people that unfollow him?
I'll tell you why. Because you said that.
Answer my question, Phil.
I'm going to answer your question. All right?
But it sounds like you're evading.
I'm not evading anything. You said that President Obama, when people unfollow him...
Come on, Phil. You are evading what? By question. You're evading it.
I'm not evading anything.
My question was this. You just admitted that it sounded violent when I said that people that unfollow me, I'll see them again. I'll pay them a visit. All right. If you just admitted to me that that sounds violent, then why wouldn't you know that President Obama is being threatened by people when they unfollow him?
I'm going to answer that question. Okay?
Fine. Please do.
All right. President Obama is being... I don't think he is being threatened.
You just know. You started to say that...
Will you let me answer the question, please?
God. What an ass. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's too bad. You said that when people unfollow you, you keep track of who they are, what their names are.
I'm talking about President Obama.
I know that. Hold on. You keep track of who they are and what their names are. President Obama is not keeping track of who they are and what their names are. So they shouldn't feel threatened by the president. Why would the president feel threatened by them?
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense because nothing you've said so far makes any sense. The president should not feel threatened by people that unfollow him.
It is a slap to the face. A slap to the face. Well, I said I said the face.
You said phrase.
Oh, well, excuse me, I misspoke. It's a slap to the face. I mean the face of the president.
Of the president.
Of the president of the United States. I mean the United States.
Of America.
What an ass.
That's too bad. This guy wants, if he wants to argue...
Well, he does sound like he's making some points.
He's not making any points at all. We're talking with Dean Wheeler here about President Obama today losing 40,000 followers because he was tweeting his ass off about this debt ceiling, and he was bugging people. He was bugging people so much with these tweets that they perceived this stuff to be spam, and they dumped his ass. So the president that was, some people thought was one of the, maybe the greatest communicator since Reagan, man, there's been some downtime for President Obama, and this debt ceiling crisis is just the one of many come-to-Jesus moments, I guess. We'll be back with more from Dean Wheeler, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Dean Wheeler on the line here with us from Novato, California, from the Northern California Holistic Center. All right, Dean, so President Obama today was tweeting everybody, saying what? He was saying...
The president was telling everyone that we've got to get behind the president's plan to raise the debt ceiling. So that we will have enough money to pay our bills. Right now, Republicans and Tea Party members have decided that even if it causes the country years and years of distress, they are going to default on America's payments and hasten the third world status of this country. And on top of that, they decided to, as they're going out the door, to slap the president across the face and unfollow him on Twitter. Now, I know it sounds like a joke, Phil.
It does sound like a joke.
Well, you just said that unfollowing someone on Twitter is very personal.
It's very personal, but I don't think the President of the United States gives a damn, okay?
Well, I question the patriotism of people that were following the president and have decided that they are not going to follow him anymore. I question the patriotism of people that have decided that President Obama is no longer someone that they need to put their faith and trust in. What happened to all the people that...
What?
There's no point.
There's no point in what?
What happened to all the people that were supporting the president and now have run? All the young people that supported him. All the people. What happened to that group of people that sang Obama is going to lead us? Do you remember those little girls?
You mean the kid choir?
Yes. What happened to them? What happened to those parents standing there very proudly? I saw them. They were wearing Obama for President t-shirts. Some of the men had glasses on. Obama's going to lead us. You heard the song. Where are they? Where are they? Do you know?
No, I don't know. I suspect those people were such lightweights. I suspect the day after the election, they started screaming and crying about how come things weren't the way they wanted those things to be. I don't know. Those people, they struck me as the ones that would desert Obama the fastest when things got rough.
Who?
The people in that Obama's going to lead us bullcrap, that video you're talking about.
Well, I don't know where you're getting that. Those people, are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Those clowns look to me to be the kind of people that would desert the farm faster than anybody else. And as far as those little children go, those little children didn't know what they were singing. They wouldn't know Obama from Barney the freaking dragon, man. Or Barney the dinosaur. They wouldn't know who he was or what he was. They were being used by those adults, like all children are used by adults, for the nefarious purposes of the adults. You know.
So those children were used by their parents as if they were just children in child porn or something.
No, I didn't say that at all. I just said they were used like kids are used. People love to use kids for political points of view. They love to get their kids out there for all kinds of different reasons. Now, the people that were in that video, I had no illusions about that horse dung. Are you kidding me?
Well, I thought it looked sincere.
Well, you might have thought it looked sincere, but it didn't look sincere to me. They looked like a bunch of jive-ass, no-count, bunch of silly-ass people with their kids singing that stupid song, okay? Well, now, here we are. So now this is the real business of government. We got a debt ceiling that, I don't know, maybe the president thought it was a de facto thing. Maybe he thought that this was something that's going to happen, a fait accompli. It happened 19 times for Ronald Reagan. Why not for Barack Obama?
Well, there's a good question. Why not for Barack Obama? Why not for Barack Obama? Do you think Ronald Reagan, if he had 9 million followers, would lose 40,000 of them? When Ronald Reagan made a speech, people paid attention. Barack Obama came on and began running for president with a video of children singing, Obama's going to lead us. It was a heartfelt and beautiful song. When President Obama was on the cover of Time magazine as, I can't believe.
You know, over the last couple of weeks, a lot of people just started breaking down and crying on this show, you know. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's me. Are you bawling?
I can't.
You are. Let me anticipate what you were going to say, Mr. Wheeler. You were going to say that one time Obama was on the cover of Time magazine looking like FDR. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so he was going to be FDR. He was going to come in with some new social program, a series of social programs, political programs. And he didn't. He didn't?
He did.
Hello? What?
He did.
He did. All right, and they didn't work. All right, and what, do you feel bad about voting for the guy?
I don't know.
Will you talk like a human being, please?
I said I don't know.
Well, there's your problem. You're feeling very ambivalent about the vote you cast for Barack Obama. I'm glad I voted for him. I'm glad I voted for him. I think the president can... one thing about him I wasn't wrong about. He's not as liberal as a lot of people thought he was. He's got a lot of those dumbass liberals in his party, man. They can't make hide nor hair out of this guy. They don't know what the hell to do. And on top of everything else, because he's a Democrat, that automatically makes him the enemy when you're a Republican. So he's got a long road to hoe. And, you know, you trying to get support for him by way of Twitter and accusing people that stop following of not having patriotism.
I'm telling you, President Obama came on board when this country needed a leader. He provided that leadership. And now look, 40,000 Twitter followers gone. The president is asking for a simple raising of the debt ceiling. No. The president is asking for things that I don't think any other president would be denied. And by unfollowing him, as I have said multiple times in this segment, you've committed assault.
Well, I didn't unfollow him.
Were you following him?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's, yeah. 877-876-PHIL. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. You had a question?
What's that?
You said you had a question.
Well, what does that mean, the Patriot Hotline?
Well, we like to think that what we represent on this show is patriotism. Not necessarily left, not necessarily right, but patriotism.
Well, if you represent patriotism, then you would represent people that are going to have some respect for a president.
Oh, will you get off that kick already, Dean? Nobody cares, man, whether President Obama lost 40,000 followers or he got 40,000. No one cares. Do you understand what's going on with this country right now? People are pissed off. Everybody's pissed off for a lot of different reasons.
Well, I know why I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at a president that doesn't get any respect.
Well, maybe he doesn't. Join the club. Bush didn't get any respect either. You know? I mean, presidents sometimes don't get respect. And sometimes people think that they're the cause for every problem there is on earth. Now, Obama, for whatever the problem is with this debt ceiling, he can't get anything done. It's over. Unless the president, and you know, when Obama, he got bin Laden, that was a big moment for him. Now, of course, the people on the Republican side, when bin Laden was killed by Obama, you would have thought that it was the assassination of Lincoln all over again. I mean, those guys walked up to that microphone one at a time. They looked as if somebody had told them that their dog just died.
What, you're talking about Republicans?
Yes, that's exactly right. So Obama's not going to get anything from them, man. Nothing. Okay? The Tea Party is convinced that they know what's best for the country. They do not brook any discussion. They have no discussion whatsoever on their agenda with anybody. They know what's best, and they're going to do what they're going to do, even if it sinks this country. But they don't think that that's possible because they're the Tea Party. They're geniuses. Now, along comes Obama, and he loses 40,000 Twitter followers. You know why?
Well, you said it's because people were upset with him spamming. I'm here to tell you he was not spamming. He was trying to tell people to join him in the fight to save his efforts at raising the debt ceiling.
I know what he was trying to do, but people got sick and tired of him tweeting them every 5 seconds about that.
No, he wasn't tweeting every 5 seconds, Phil.
But the guy was on Twitter all day long. Not him, but whoever the hell does it for him. And probably on Facebook, too. Blah, 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 blah. I don't follow Obama because I don't like following people that got 9 million followers, so anything you have to say to them, they're not going to hear anyway. You know?
Well, you only follow people that follow you. Okay, so I know how you play the game.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I follow people that follow me. Why, with something wrong with that?
Oh, my God. So, in other words, you're saying that you don't follow people that don't follow you.
No, I don't. Why? What's wrong with that?
A lot of people follow people that don't follow them.
Well, I don't give a damn if a lot of people follow people that don't follow them. I don't. But what has that got to do with anything?
How many followers do you have?
Never mind how many followers I got. President Obama's got 9 million. What's his problem?
He lost 40,000, Phil.
He's got 9 million followers. 9 million. 9 million and a half. What's his problem? So he lost 40,000. So what? It's going to teach him. He doesn't want people jamming that damn Twitter feed with a bunch of horse dung. Most people don't know what the hell is going on.
Well, I know what's going on, Phil. And that is that we have a debt ceiling that has to be raised, or the United States of America goes into default. And when we go into default, then nothing you ever saw in Mad Max or Road Warrior.
Don't start scaring people.
I'm telling you it's going to be Mad Max, and I'm telling you that...
No, it's not going to be Mad Max. I don't know what it's going to be. It's most likely going to be higher interest rates. It's most likely going to be lower stock prices. It's most likely going to be all of the things that you associate with a recession, which we're experiencing right now, only it's going to get worse. That's what it's going to mean. Now, we're going to pay some bills.
Oh, yeah, we'll pay some bills. We're not going to pay any veterans' bills.
You know what? All of this stuff, man, is just, we can't, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Phil,
I don't want to talk about this crap anymore.
You don't want to talk to Dean?
No, I don't want to talk to Dean, and I don't want to talk about this crap anymore. You know, it will be what it's going to be, all right? No, you know, there's nothing that is written that says every single Congress and every single president, or for that matter, every single generation of Americans are brain surgeons. Maybe we're the ones. Maybe this is a Congress that we put into place. And the other thing that drives me out of my mind is everybody's right. Everybody's right. Nobody's wrong. Everyone's right. You know, it's one thing to badmouth President Bush. It's another thing to badmouth Obama. It was okay to badmouth Bush. It's not okay to, you know, I'm done with it, man. I'm through with it. And sometimes you just have to look right into the teeth of the future and say, we got to get through it. I mean, if they don't raise the debt ceiling and the country goes into default, I don't give a damn. I'll do what I have to do, whatever that is that I got to do. I'll try to do it. I'll try to do it the best I can. I'm not going to try to control things I can't control. I know what I'd like to see happen. I'd like to see them raise the debt ceiling and at the same time become men and women, butch up, and figure out a way to pay down the country's debt, to raise the revenues. If we've got to trim here and trim there, whatever we got to do, we got to do. You know, that's what I'd like to see happen. I'd like to see people start acting like functioning human beings and not like they're walking around eating with their hands, you know, and in bare feet, like they're living in a cave still. I mean, we got a Congress here. They act like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, babbling on about this and that. Everybody has got the answer. At this point, and Boehner, what happened to him? Look, Boehner, I get it, man. You tried to cobble together some kind of a compromise. No one's going to pass that garbage in the Senate. These guys are debating this bullcrap today. Boehner gets up, makes the big speech. What is it? What are you trying to do now, man? You trying to save your ass in the eyes of history? You want to make sure that everyone thinks you're a swell guy, that you ain't Nancy Pelosi, that you're John Boehner. Okay, great.
Hey. Yeah, but he don't want to look like, you know, nobody will mistake him for being her.
Believe me, man, when I tell you, nobody's going to mistake John Boehner for Nancy Pelosi for a lot of reasons. Now, that guy, Boehner, I'm sure he is a hard worker. When he was in private business, he was giving a series of comments once where he got very emotional talking about how he busted his ass building a business. I believe it. I'm sure you did. You know, a great many of us do that, Mr. Congressman. We all bust our asses building businesses, you know. Hopefully, if we're lucky and we put in enough work, they become successful. But you're in a whole different ballgame now. You're a United States Congressman. You're a representative of the House of Representatives, and you got a different job now. You got to work with what you got there. You got to work with the ones on the left and on the right. Now you got these Tea Party guys. This is what they're saying. The Tea Party is insisting that certain things happen. They're not talking about anything. They think that they've come all the way down the road to Obama by simply saying, all we want now is a balanced budget amendment. I don't know if anybody out there has ever negotiated with anyone for anything, a car, a mink stole. You never start out with your bottom line. That's their bottom line, and that was their bottom line before they started talking to these guys. The Tea Party said, here's where we're going to stop the balanced budget amendment. That's what we want. That's what they started out with. All that other horse dung, they were willing to give up. But they didn't start with the bottom line. So the Tea Party is where they always wanted to be, which is balanced budget amendment, which is an absolute impossibility. Because you got to know what that means, a balanced budget amendment. What exactly is a balanced budget amendment? What is going to go into that? When you balance a budget, what are you doing? I know you're balancing a budget, but that also means that certain things are going to be taken out of the budget. Other things are left in. Well, they couldn't even get the first base for that, because when they talk to the Democrats about what they perceive to be a balanced budget, the stuff that they said they would sacrifice and the stuff they said they would not sacrifice, it didn't coincide with what the Democrats wanted. So out of the gate, you guys are dead. So you not only said you wanted a balanced budget amendment, but you had some provisos as to what that meant, what's going to be included and what isn't going to be included, what gets cut out of the budget and what stays in the budget. And the Democrats said it ain't going to happen. So the Tea Party basically has said the following thing. We made all of these sacrifices, all of these concessions, everything, and all we want now is a balanced budget amendment. That's all they ever wanted. They didn't want anything more than that. Because like I said, when you negotiate, you never ever start out with your bottom line. You always start out with, you know, way, way further down the road than you're going to wind up. Where they are today is where they wanted to be. And they're going to stand strong on that. And they don't give a damn. Now, I know everyone's saying, why is it the Tea Party's fault? Why doesn't President Obama do what? What do you want him to do? To agree to your balanced budget amendment. He's not going to agree to it. Well, then we're not going to agree to it. All right, fine. I hope that they don't raise this debt ceiling. I hope we default. And I hope we get a good nose full of what that means. I think it's time. I really do. I think it's time that we as Americans learn that there are consequences to actions. And if, and I'm not saying anything bad will happen, but if things get really tough, I am not going to just blame the Congress. I'm not going to blame John Boehner. I ain't going to blame the Tea Party. I ain't going to blame the Democrats. I ain't blaming Obama. I'm going to blame us, the American people, for sitting on our asses like we usually do when it comes to stuff like this. So I think whatever happens on Tuesday is what's supposed to happen.
What's that mean?
Just what I said. It's what's supposed to happen, whatever that is.
What's going to happen?
I don't know.
Well, then you can't say that you know what's going to happen.
I didn't say I knew what was going to happen. I said whatever's going to happen is what's supposed to happen.
I don't understand.
Good. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. And online at philhenryshow.com with our groovy, ever so viewable Phil TV in HD. There's the El Pacifico behind me, that island over my over the shoulder that you would see as my left shoulder, which is actually my right shoulder. That island there.
There, see it?
That is Anacapa, and the one over my over what you would think is my right shoulder, actually my left, that's
Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's Santa Claus Island. I don't know. That's Santa Rosa, Santa...
I think that's Santa Catalina.
That ain't Catalina, Jack. Catalina's further south, okay?
Jack?
Yes, Jack. Sorry. All right, anyway, 877-876... It ain't Catalina, man. Catalina's way down. It's way, way down. All right. Here's an interesting story. I don't know. It's interesting to me. I'm not really sure I understand what moonshine is, other than the fact that moonshine is obviously it's an economically made spirit, one that is made without the approval. Well, that's not necessarily true. I was going to say it's one made without the official bonding of the United States government, because they're making a moonshine in South Carolina that will, in fact, be legal. Two entrepreneurs are taking advantage of South Carolina's new micro distillery laws to make traditional moonshine whiskey legally in the state for the first time. The Dark Corner Distillery will open next month in Greenville, where engineer Joe Fenton and longtime home beer brewer.
Well, then why don't you say it?
I was going to say it, and you grabbed it away from me. Home beer brewer, Richard Wenger.
Boy, that you better double check on that.
Double check on what?
His name.
Why do I got to double check on Richard Wenger?
You got to make sure if it's FCC.
His name's Richard Wenger. There's no FCC. In any event, they're going to see, they're going to produce and sell small batches of 100 proof moonshine from a custom made copper still.
Yeah.
The distillery, housed in a 1925 building, will also include a tasting bar and a museum dedicated to the history of the Dark Corner, the local mountains that were once full of moonshiners, feud, and mayhem, according to Fenton, age 27. That's a great idea. That is a great idea. That will be a tourist attraction. The area was settled, along with the nearby Smoky Mountains of Tennessee and Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, by Scots, Irish, and Welsh, who migrated down through the Appalachian mountain chain from Pennsylvania in the 1700s. They thought it was their inalienable, God-given right to make whiskey, said Fenton, a Dark Corner native, and of course it is. No, he didn't say that, but I can well see how they thought that. It was a hard life. If you could make an extra 10 cents more for a gallon of whiskey than you could for a bushel of corn, then hey, why not? Moonshine traditionally was the term used to describe illegally distilled corn whiskey, often made covertly by the light of the moon, see?
Oh, so that's why they call it that.
Yes. The product made at the new distillery will be an unaged corn whiskey, but will be taxed and regulated. The area came to be called the Dark Corner in 1832 by South Carolina politicians seeking to nullify federal law and who cursed the people of the mountains as unionists, said Dean Campbell, a Dark Corner native who is the distillery's official historian. Now, what is it about those mountain people that they were into the union, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, West Virginia, those were mountain people. They were union people. They did not secede along with the state of Virginia. And so the Dark Corner in South Carolina was an area of hillbillies, Scotch, Irish, and Welsh hillbillies, who were considered to be union people, and so were cursed by the South Carolina politicians. Whiskey taxes after the Civil War and then prohibition in the 20th century made the place even more lawless. Did you ever see that movie with me the other night? Were you watching that, Robert, Thunder Road?
Yeah, I love that movie, Robert Mitchum.
Yes, Robert Mitchum. And it's about those guys with the... But that was the whole hot car thing, you know?
That's where they got all the NASCAR.
Yeah, that's essentially where NASCAR began. NASCAR began when a group of guys that had souped up their cars, if you will, to outrun revenue. That's what they called the Treasury agents.
Now, hold on. When you say revenue, what's that?
The revenuer it was the forerunner. I'll tell you who the revenuer is. The revenuer was the forerunner of today's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agent. Okay?
You work for the Treasury?
Yes. How'd you know that, bud?
Because of Elliot Ness. Yeah, Elliot Ness. I work for the Treasury. Yeah, he's not a G-man. He's a T-man.
What do you mean he's not a G-man? He's a T-man.
They called him.
Well, yeah, they were Treasury agents. They weren't Federal Justice Department agents. They were Treasury agents. So Elliot Ness, that's what he was. Elliot Ness was not an FBI agent. A lot of people thought he was. Elliot Ness was a Treasury agent. And Elliot Ness was the forerunner to today's ATF. So Elliot Ness went down, wherever the hell he went, Chicago. And Elliot Ness basically harassed Al Capone. He didn't really put him out of business so much as he harassed the hell out of him. He busted up a lot of stills. He took a lot of Elliot Ness's property, and very famously, and it's one of the only aspects of the Elliot Ness legend that's true, that they constantly tell in the movies, he did, in fact, drive down State Street in Chicago. Elliot Ness paraded down the street Al Capone's trucks that he had confiscated, and he called Al Capone, and he knew Al Capone's code name. It was Snarky. I think it was Snarky.
Who was?
Al Capone. That was his nickname. Don't ask any questions, okay, bud? And he got Capone's brother on the phone. I think his brother's name was Ralph. And he said, let me talk to Snarky. And Al Capone came on the phone, and Elliot Ness said, look out your window, Al, because those are your trucks that I'm driving down the street. So that did happen. But,
Was it moonshine?
No, it wasn't moonshine. Well, no, it was beer. It was all kinds of stuff. I mean, Al Capone, yeah, you could call it. It was Canadian stuff is what it was. I think those guys up north, it wasn't moonshine so much as it was bootlegged Canadian booze that they brought down over the border. So News accounts in the 1920s called the Dark Corner a Little Chicago because of federal agents' raids on stills, killings, and gun and knife fights that broke out after church. Yeah. Illegal moonshine is still being made there, Campbell said. In June, sheriff's deputies busted a still in Landrum, South Carolina, confiscated 2,000 gallons of illegal white liquor, along with $150,000 in cash. State lawmakers in 2009 altered existing liquor laws in a way that lessened the financial burden on small distilleries, paving the way for the Dark Corner Distillery. And Fenton, one of the young men who started this distillery, said city officials and business groups in Greenville have supported the new venture, but the second you say moonshine, people's eyebrows raise. Despite the drink's reputation, legal moonshine makers have also popped up in other states, including Oregon, Wisconsin, Montana, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, New York, and North Carolina. Fenton and Wagner, who's 44, are experimenting with fresh grains and flavorings and plan other products such as bourbon, peach, and grape brandies. Oh, man, I don't like any of that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I want to have that moonshine, though.
I'd like to have actual moonshine, yeah. As long as I don't go blind from this stuff or whatever it is they say happens. So I think that's pretty cool. That's going to be happening very soon in Greenville, South Carolina, the Dark Corner Distillery. Maybe we'll do a remote broadcast from there when they open up.
That'd be bitching.
Well, we'll think about it. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.